2023. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellence Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Ilahi Bey. My topic this evening is the Ramadan session, man and the universe as mates created for each other, its timeless relevancy. Lecturer, Imam W. Dean Muhammad. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradio.drmirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Before we get started this evening, we are asking everyone to make a dua, a prayer for our beloved sister, Lieutenant Governor Keela Oliver, passed away. May Allah forgive her her sin and grant her paradise. When we are in the form and spirit that Allah wants in us, his angels are at our service. So when God breathes the spirit into him, then he will demand that God select it. And I guess that is why God told the angels to wait until I have given him of my spirit. And then you make sajda to him. So that is only to tell us that when we are in the form and spirit that Allah wants us in, his angels are at our service. Their existence is to support our life that God wants for us on this earth. One of the principal articles of faith or belief is that we believe in the angels. You cannot see what you don't have mind to see. So your faith or your belief is not complete until you believe in the angels. It does not mean that you accept that that's a principle in Islam or an article of faith in Islam. It means more than that. It means that you accept that it is real. God also has angels in his creations. And those angels work for his plan, his will. And they will also be working in your personal, private life. I've experienced it myself. I'm talking from knowledge, not only from faith. In fact, there is not a day in my life I do not have one or more angels making their presence known to me in my life. So when you are sensitive to these things, then you recognize it. You cannot see what you do not have a mind to see. So if you do not have a mind to see it, it will be right in your presence, touching your eyeballs, and you won't even know it. We give our presentation for the first day of this Ramadan session on yesterday, Juma Day, which is the most blessed day in the year. Shouldn't you want to know why the Prophet Muhammad said of Juma, Friday, it is the most blessed day of the year? Well, he told us why. Through. He said Adam was created on that day. And he said no person dies and is resurrected except on that day. And the day Adam was created on. And in the calendar of Muslims, it is the sixth day. For some reason, I have always been a little superstitious. I don't know why. Prophet Muhammad was born on a Monday. Upon him be the prayers and the peace. I was kind of superstitious about Thursday since I was a child. I will share this with you. If I really was attracted to a young girl, and I'm talking about when I was younger than 14 years old, I think when I was 10 or 11 years of age, if I was really attracted to her and I had a chance to see her on a Thursday, I knew that everything was going to be all right. And it kind of stayed with me until now. If something happens on a Thursday to me, I just feel everything is going to be all right. And I know that I have been thirsting all of my life, thirsting. Thirst string that's been in my life, thirsting, and trying to find the right drink. God takes over when you use his name. I said this in the Nation of Islam when I was a young minister. If you really take God as your interest really strongly and you start living and doing things, telling people things in the name of God, your rule is finished. You are not in charge of your affairs anymore. You think you are, but God is overseeing it. And if you are wrong, he's going to give you the result of your bad deed, of your bad intention. And if you are right, he is going to reward you tremendously. Doesn't that sound reasonable? Nobody wants somebody going out doing things in their name without being accountable to them. You do not want anybody doing something in your name and are not accountable to you. So if they don't have any conscience to recognize the obligation they have to you when they take up that position, then you start planning to do something about it, right? God too. God will do the same. Getting back now, the concentration of our Ramadan session yesterday was on the original nature and on the original man, Adam. For this second part of this session, our concentration, the topic will be on the sanctuary as the main idea. Harbi, the sanctuary, is a whole area called Haram. And the sanctuary for Muslims, who can tell me what it is? The Kaaba, that is the sanctuary. Look up the word sanctuary, then understand the meaning of that precinct, and you will see sanctuary falls under the term or the definition. The sanctuary now is that whole area that is called the Haram. It is not an area where you have to change your clothing or clothes. If you are on an airplane or traveling, you have to stop and put on Ihram. You have to be ready, clean, and you have to put on your Ihram. If you are not already in Ihram, God says, let there be no confronting each other with bad spirits. Whether it is anger or something else, no fighting either. No arguing with each other in that area. You are supposed to restrain yourself and not be guilty of any of that kind of behavior. And there should be no killing of anything in that area. You cannot even hunt during the time of Hajj. You cannot hurt any animal. Not in that area. So that is why you sleep. That is why you sleep in the scorpions or in the desert of Saudi Arabia. But you have to sleep at night and trust Allah that no scorpion will bite you when you are sleeping outside on the ground and exposed, right? Your feet are exposed, the hands, face, your whole body is exposed, really. And there is no problem for a scorpion or whatever to get into that Ephraim. And I have never heard anybody say or news has come to us while we were completing the rite of the harvest that anyone was bitten by a scorpion or somebody was harmed by some animal or insect or something. I have never heard it. It might have happened, but I've never heard it. And I know that my devotion was so complete, so fulfilled the rites of hearts and pleasing my Lord, and I had no thought of anything harming me. I rested peacefully with no fear, no thought of anything harming me. And you know that that's in the Bible, that the believers who really believe in God and devote themselves to service for God, that they would be able to lie down with animals, even scorpions, and not be harmed. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to go out and test it. You don't test what God says. Don't test God's words. God is the tester. Let him have that business all by himself. Don't you go testing his words, or we will find you in the mall. The sanctuary, I remember reading the Bible once, and in this passage that the people were told by their religious leaders to make their home their sanctuary. And the meaning that I gathered or that I got from the passage, I can't recall all the language right now. But the meaning that I got from the language gave me a picture that the world for them had become so troublesome and so difficult to live their life of their choice, their religious life, that they had to practice their life of religion in secrecy. And the high priest or the leaders could not serve them anymore because it was too dangerous. So they were told by their leaders to make their homes their sanctuary. The mosque is a sanctuary. Do you know the mosque is a sanctuary? Yes. And that is why that area, the most precious part of the Haram, is the Masjid Haram. It is called Masjid. It is a masjid. So in any masjid, you should not have to come in there with a spirit to attack your brother and sister, not with spirits, not with words, and certainly not with your hands. You should come in there with a spirit just like you do in the Hajj, a spirit to be in harmony with spirits that the Muslims, that Allah wants for us as Muslims and brothers and sisters of one another. And do not allow your personal feelings or experiences that you had or encountered that you had with each other cause you to lose that spirit of peace and harmony with your brothers and sisters when you come to the masjid. And I have seen some of us, we don't know, coming in there for trouble, walking in wanting to hurt somebody. The sanctuary is a big sin to violate the sanctuary of the sanctuary. If it is a major sin, in fact, in Saudi Arabia, they will actually cut your head off. They will kill you for starting trouble in the sanctuary. And they have permission to do it right there in the sanctuary. So that is the only time that they can do it. So when somebody is an aggressor and have violated the sanctity of the sanctuary with weapons or something, then you are just killing them right there in the sanctuary. Don't forget that we are continuing what we gave yesterday. Yesterday we talked about the original life. Today we are talking about the precinct, the place, the environment. Eden is believed to be Eden. In the Arab tradition, culture, legend, and ancestors, by the name of Aden, they in Saudi Arabia, especially those scholars and knowledgeable ones of their history, and the history of Al-Islam says that Aden was an ancestor, and the word Eden is Aden. So the word that we know as the Garden of Eden, E-D-E-N, Eden, is Aden. I tend to give some respect to that. What they say, I know one thing. If you read the Bible gives you a picture of land and connects it with nations, and it gives you a picture of the beginning of the Garden of Paradise on earth. And then in the history of the Arab was an ancestor of theirs, and like I said, those who have researched, many of them believe the word Eden in English in the Bible is Adam, their ancestors. So the black stone, the original man in his original nature. And I will tell you something else that I know. Scholars in Islam, especially Pakistani, I have had some discussion or exchange words with them. And they say that the Kaaba is where Abraham and his son built the house directed by God. That is what we should remember too. Abraham and his son built the house, but Abraham did not know how or where to start. And he called on God to show him where he should place the house. So it was with God's guidance too. Not just Abraham and his son building it. No, it was God's guidance to Abraham and his son working with him that brought the house to be built and completed there. And even the place, the site that the house, Abraham asked God to show him where he should place it. And we know how the story goes, that a falling star hit the earth. We say falling star, but actually it means a fragment from the heavens, like a small meteorite, hit the earth. And when it hit the earth, it took that as a God answer to him that this is where you should build the house. And the story goes like this, the object. So when it cooled off, it was a black stone. So the Hijra and Sorai, the stone, pardon me, that's black, the description is reversed like in Spanish. In Spanish, you do not say beautiful baby. You say baby beautiful. And it is like that for most of those languages in that family, such as the Italian language. For the Arabs, it is the same. And for some other language, it is the same. So the description comes after, not before. The term Hijra Ansar means stone black. But we say in English black stone. It sounds funny. If you say stone black, that means you can't speak English. We take it that you are a foreigner and you just got here and you cannot speak English. So the stone that the builders rejected became the corner. Stone marked the spot. How are we to connect this? We think that it is just a stone falling. That's primitive stuff to believe that. No, the stone is in the scripture, and it was in the scripture before. Yes, the stone that the builders rejected became the corner. That is not in the Quran. That is in the language of the people of the book, long before the Quran. The stone that the builders rejected became corner. Isn't that something, brothers? We used to think it was us, right? More than the builders rejected us, the people that didn't even have any job, rejected us. Program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise. Imam Dr. Maraj Speaks Block Talk Radio. So the Bible stone is a symbol of the original man and his original nature. No, the view here that we should have before our eyes is the great work of the nation on this planet Earth. They are the builders, those who establish nations and establish cities, industry, and all of the things that make for a great people, a government, or society. They are the ones who reject what the black stone is a sign of. And yesterday we made it clear what we were talking about. The black stone is a sign. It is a symbol of original man and his original nature. His original nature is not to show off his life. They went to heaven showing off their light, and God had to show them that they did not know everything. He said, if you know, tell me their name. Tell me your own name. Isn't that what he said in the Quran? He said, if you know, tell me your own names. And they admitted that they had no knowledge except what they have got from God. So the God addresses the man that he is making or forming in the earth. He said, Adam, tell them their name. And when Adam told them their names, they all submitted except Iblis, a proud ego, proud and defiant ego, Abbas Wastakabira. He resisted, refused to do what God asked him to do, was puffed up in pride. Isn't that the nature of some of us? You want it to be relevant? Then don't look where you cannot see and do not know what is happening. Look at yourself and each other, where it's happening all the time. There is some arrogant spirit all the time, defying the will of God down here. So when a picture is given of the beginning, it is to show you what is happening to you now. He said, Abbas Wastakabir, and become one of the disbelievers, one of the rejecters of faith. That was Iblis. So Iblis is really the first to reject faith. Now, this is before man was established on the earth, right? He resisted and refused to obey God and was puffed up in pride. We become begotten, pardon me, he became begotten and become one of the rejecters of faith. So Satan is the beginning of rejecting faith in God. So this is before the whispers to the man in the garden. So he was a disbeliever, and he wanted to make the man a disbeliever, our first father Adam. He wanted to make him a disbeliever. Now stop thinking in the past. When a picture is given to you of the beginning, it is to show you what is happening to you now. In Judaism, there is no Satan or Jesus Christ. Iblis is the Satan because after he did that, then he brought upon himself a curse, and he was given the name Shaitan or Satan in the Bible. Then he was given the name adversary, the one going after the plan of God. But understanding only in Christianity and Islam is the adversary of God is in Judaism. He is not existing at all. No. In Judaism, there is no devil, and there is no concept of Satan or Satan in Judaism. But hold on. I want to let you know that I have some dear brothers in the faith who are Jews, dear brothers and sisters in faith that are Jews. And I just want to check that before we continue. Also in Judaism, there is no Jesus Christ. Do you hear that? There is not Jesus Christ in Judaism and no Satan. I'm not going to leave it like that. A small number of them who are high up in knowledge and science, they will not acknowledge any Jesus Christ because they believe that they are the only begotten sons of God. And not only that, they will not acknowledge Satan because they believe that they have the right to punish and send to hell anybody who defies their orders. So they do not look outside of Satan. Satan is the boss in hell, isn't he? So that is what I taught that the Christian says. We have better get away from that territory right away. We had better have that same quick and get back to where we were. Do you know what the Bible says that Jesus said? Jesus speaking to Jews who were giving him trouble. I behold your father falls from heaven like lightning. He abandoned not in truth. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. When he speaks a lie, it is his own lie. Nobody gave it to him. And the work of your father you will do. Now, I just gave the Bible that put it in the mouth of prophet Jesus, upon him be the peace, the Christ Jesus. For Christianity to survive, there has to be real major changes. I just gave it to you, and it is still in the Bible like that. Don't you know that is a big problem for a peace and harmony of religions on this planet Earth, with them making such accusations, I say? Then, and Allah did not put that in their Bible, with them making such accusations like that against the whole people. It makes it very hard for us to come to a table of dialogue and work for peace, harmony, and cooperation amongst us, amongst the religion. Let me tell you something. One priest that has been maybe a year ago, he really got in the news. And if he got in the news, that tells us a lot. He was in the news for saying that if Christianity is to survive, there has to be some real major changes made. That is what the Christian priest said, and I agree. Never all of any people bad. There are bad ones amongst them. That's life. They are always bad ones amongst every people. Every people, there are bad ones amongst them. And it so happened that some of these bad people managed to get an insight into matters that give them knowledge that they can use over the heads of people to control them and become their master. If God doesn't save the people and those who are very notorious and pointed to in scripture, like Jesus' words, as being the Satan themselves, they are able to do that. But it did not just start with the Bible. Idol worshippers, pagans, were not uneducated. In the religion of the Greeks, before they converted to Christianity or other religions, they were what we would call pagans or idol worshippers. We should get away from that idea, the thinking that just because people worship idols or had idols, that means that they were barbaric or savage, ignorant, uneducated, not scientific. No, we have to get away from that. That's not true. People have had the sciences and education, all of that, in the medieval age, in ancient times, going way back further than we can record. Their language was different, and how they presented it was different. But they had science. The material universe yields up knowledge and science to whomever engages it, and that has existed. This man has been on this planet Earth with his intelligence and his curiosity. Revelation gave man his purpose in God's creation. So no, they had great civilization. They had great science. They had cultural beauty and everything. Ancient nations. But their language was different. And they had not been enlightened as to the purpose for their creation, human creation, on this planet Earth or in this universe. So this is what they were missing. That only came by revelation from God. Then man was able to understand his purpose and place in God's creation and how he is to perform as a creation of God or a servant of God. That came later, but it does not mean that they did not have advanced culture and advanced civilization. They did. And they even had advanced knowledge of human excellence. So human society had to find and understand the nature and its purity that God made. That is why in the Quran, Allah recognizes that. That's why in the Quran, Allah Most High, he said, this religion is a religion of origin, the origin upon which God patterned the faith, the religion, Deen of Fitra, Fatirat Lahi Lati, Fatirat Nasiha Aleha, the original upon which human society was formed or originated. Human society was originated upon an original pattern. That original pattern is a pattern made by God. The origin, the society could not even advance because it did not have revelation from God. But in order for society to advance, it had to be able to find or see or understand the nature and its purity that God made. Or if they did not believe in the Creator that they discovered, then they could pattern their society upon the original pattern so that the original pattern lives and finds expression in their culture and in their life and knowledge. That is what Allah is telling us, not me. He is telling us with his words in the Quran. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio. So Allah is saying nations before my revelation formed, developed, and made progress, but they did not do it without discovering or recognizing the original design and creation for the human life to be established and prosper. So it says that the religion of the Quran is that religion, Deen al-Fitra Lati, the religion of origin, which Fatira Nasiya Aleha, the human society was patterned upon. That means that all societies, all nations, in some degree, even in primitive society, is responding to the original pattern that God made. There is no other way for them to respond except to respond to that original pattern. Man cannot create himself or create himself over and reject the original creation. He has to work with what he has, his original creation. And the more he respects the beauty and the excellence that the original creation, more he will prosper. The sanctuary, there is a sign there of the original light. So we are on the concept sanctuary. And we first brought our attention to the sanctuary for the Hajis. And there is a sign there of the original life God gave us. So when he made the universe or the creation, and we have the house there, the house is called Kaaba, or and our Qibla is determined by the location of the Kaaba. The house itself has a precious stone called the black stone. And the black stone was put in the corner with the hand of the prophet himself. Some chiefs of Mecca decided that they were going to restore the house. The house was in bad repair. And the Arab history says that there was a great flood in that area. I don't know where it came from. But they say there was a great flood in that area, and it damaged the Kaaba. I know where the flood is here, but I don't know about that. I know we are flooded out. And Aquarius, symbolic of a moral flood. It started with the time way back in the 1950s, or early 1960s where the song got to be real popular called The Age of Aquarius. It went, "This is the age of Aquarius. Great flooding was beginning." And it continued, it built up and drowned out as many as it could in the 1960s, and then continued in the 1970s, in the 1980s, and by the 1990s, there was no more water, just fire. It went from one extreme to another and started burning up with sexual lust and insane passion. The orchestrator is the Satan himself. So this is not a mystery. In the Quran, it says, "Nashruha," and "Nashruha," the hellfire is real. It is plain in its plain language. It is no superstition. It is not mystery. It is reality. So the house is called Al-Bayt, and it is also called Kaaba. And because of the location of the house, that place where it is in Mecca, that location is Qibla. Qibla means orientation for direction. Qibla means that you look to, you turn there to that place for direction. So if it is on a map and you look at the United States and whatever is between the United States and Arabia, and then you look at the borders from where we entered Arabia to the location, then that location is the direction. Surat al-Mustaqim is a counselor and scientist. So you know sight, vision is broad because the lens captures a broad space. The light travels in a straight line. And since light travels in a straight line, vision also travels in a straight line. So when I look at an object, whether it is your face or that camera, I don't have to make my sight go straight. Automatically it goes straight. It goes straight to the mark, no curves. Surat al-Mustaqim. That's bringing me to say Surat al-Mustaqim is not just moral, spiritual, being upright as a decent person. Surat al-Mustaqim is a concept also for the thinker, for the philosopher, for the scientist. If you are going to use God's light and use your eyes and your sight, your vision, then respect what God has created. My light travels in a straight line. Why do you make it crooked? I have created your vision and it goes in a straight line. Now, why do you make it crooked? And they are always talking about signs. There are signs everywhere that people were told about the sign of God in creation and how the ignorant masses or the large number of people had no awareness of it at all. They go along absent-minded, heedless, paying no attention to the signs of God, but that the few who pattern their society, their production, and their creation, or whatever upon the original science, and they found in the creation of God, they can be challenged upon the basis of their own status, their own logic, their own thinking, their own works, you say. Why have you followed logic to its point and then stopped using it when God speaks to you? Now your logic is working, showing consistency, not confusion and contradiction. But as soon as God comes in the picture, now your logic goes crazy. Your logic is gone. Now you are saying that light travels crooked. No. It's not crooked, it's straight. So they give us a crooked knowledge to take us away from our God, the true God, the creator of everything. Kaaba means vital connection. So the house itself in Bayt al-Bayt is called Kaaba. So it is important to understand when you say house, that is not enough. When you say home, that is not enough. But when you say Kaaba, now, that is where the knowledge is for identifying that house and knowing what that house means in our lives. It is given in the term Kaaba. Kaaba means vital connection that are necessary and important. Without these connections, you do not have the house. Vital, most important connection. That's what Kaaba means. So the connection for our home life begins with Adam having a mate, or begins with Brother Sharif having a wife, Sister Salima. Now, don't look for them. I'm forming them as I go. And like the movies, when they show you the acknowledgement, they say any connection with a person is just a coincidence. So isn't that the history of the Genesis? And isn't that the history of the beginning of mankind in Islam too? That God made a male and then he made a female? A male and a female? So if he made of the male a female, he made them both of the same essence. He made a male first, and then he made a female. Now, don't think anymore of a flesh man and a flesh woman. That's okay in kindergarten for Muslims to have that idea, but you who are students, you are now listening to a student, and we want to have knowledge, just not story. So it starts with a mate, a husband and a wife, a male and a female coming together. That is the only way we can extend and populate the earth with people. We cannot extend our life or populate the earth with people unless we mate with one another. Male and female have to mate. I said, do not think of flesh right now. Think of community from the beginning on this earth. We are talking about community, science, the secular world will give us history and theories of how man formed on the earth and progress. Religion is not giving us a picture of flesh population. It is giving us a picture of community development and how the establishment of the community life was designed into our very creation by God, and that it is natural heritage, inheritance of every one of us to have that support community life. So man, animals have knowledge in their genes. So the bird comes here and knows when it is time to have baby birds, knows to start getting the straw and whatever to make a home for the baby. And it knows how to make its home. No man taught the bird to make his house, get his home round, and make it of this particular straw or soft grass stuff. The bird knows that by virtue of its own creation. Its own life knows that. Its life as it comes and to exist and knows that, so it will know what to do when the time comes, and it does it. It is the same for humans. You don't have to teach a baby to crawl. It is going to crawl. We give them help, but you don't have to teach it to walk. It is going to walk because it sees you walking. So you are not an English teacher, but the baby learns to speak your language just by listening to you. So these are the great developments. These is nothing to push aside like there's nothing. No, that's the beginning of life, and it is clocked into our very composition as flesh, as people, and it expresses itself automatically inside when the time comes. When the situation presents itself, the light responds to the situation, and it does what God has designed for it to do. Family life involves naturally, but is now threatening. And don't you know if you just depend on nothing but the original life right now? If African-American people depended on nothing but that original life, we would be better off than we are right now. Because at least we would learn to walk. We would come here ready to crawl, to walk, and we would come here ready and know how to love one another and be family. God talked all of that into our creation, into our nature, into our very flesh. He's put that. But the world deceived us. Then we lose the original life. We lose the interest to be nice and loving to each other, to have a spirit to be family, not causing problems for each other, but working together in unity as a unit. And your education, your schooling, the academic world tells you that family is the first unit of society. And that is what we have lost, family, not just African Americans now, or Black. This big problem has taken over all people and all religions. Yes, all the religious people are suffering from the corruption of the family. So man comes here without education, without science and industry. Man comes here knowing how to establish his life, just like the bird knows how to establish theirs. Just like the bees, they know how to establish theirs. Just like the other creatures know how to establish theirs that are not human. Man comes here with the ability to establish his own social pattern, and it begins with family. For community life, family is a small community. That is what family is, a small community. If you stay in touch with your relatives, then family becomes a big community. Tribes become so big. They are almost like nations, just one tribe. In fact, when you read the history of the people of the book, their tribe became nations. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC. Imam Dr. Miraj speaks Black Talk Radio. So scripture is not addressing flesh creation, but how community life is born. I have to say again, because I think many of you miss that most important thing I'm saying from the beginning, and the scripture is not addressing flesh creation. It is addressing community life, how community life is born. So when it says male and female, where is the male? The male is the brain. Why is he the brain? Because the male has to go out and hunt. The male has to go out and risk his life in the wild environment for the beginning of family life. He has to risk his life out there. He has to discover things that he needs at home for his wife. And he relates to her to know what he should be looking for out there in the field or in the wilderness. She lets him know, honey, we are going to need something to sit on. This ground is cold and hard. Baby, we need something to sleep on. And we don't know when the wind and the rain is going to come on us. We need a wall built up, and we need a cover for our heads. So the wife is the one who gives the requisition. So he is the one who gives the requisition. She is the one that gives the requisition. She makes the request and gives the bill. Go out and get it, baby. And if he is a natural man in the original pattern made by our Creator, he goes out there and gets it. He doesn't tell her, I don't have a job. That original woman will say to him, and you have no wife. Don't you know my original nature calls for a man? What is this speaking to me? you are worse off than a baby. We have to make it relevant, don't we? Don't leave it up in the sky. Bring it down here where the real deal is. So the new wife, he goes out, he brings her these things, and pretty soon the family gets big. You have somebody next door down the road belonging to the family needing the same thing. And this development grows after a while. They call it a town. They call it a community. So this is our community, our town. So when a town is established, when the community life is established, where those private people have a public that they are responsible for, the public, whether we call it town, city, village, or whatever, that's white. That's the new white. That's the most important white. And men who put their heads together, and I'm sure sometimes women get into the work too, whoever was responsible for building that community life is the husband. That's scripture. The husbandman in the Bible, the husbandman. And I think they have a profession called the husbandry, taking care of animals and plants. And animals can't survive or exist without some plant. Some better have some plant, pardon me. You better have some plant if you have animals, unless they are carnivorous and eat no plants. But then you still have to have plants. There is no way to not have plants. So the language is there to support what I'm bringing home to you. That is what I'm showing you. So occasionally you see me, you go to the language of the world, right? So that's to show you, that to prove that this is the right picture that I'm presenting to you. You go and you find evidence of this being in the history of man's life and growth on this planet Earth. It is still in his language. If I was speaking to a leader in the Vatican, I could have said everything I said to you in about 10 minutes. Don't think that we are the only ones who know things. Amongst all people, there are those who know something about what I'm bringing to you right now. Maybe not in the exact language that I'm giving it to you, but they have been given the concept, the idea. They have the concept. But it is us who have to be given this for the first time. And education, this knowledge, because they are not going to share it. They think it is supposed to be kept secret, and they are wrong. So Muslim leaders fail because they deceived into using the strategies of the Christian and the Jews. So Muhammad came and God sent him into the world to show them that they were wrong in the time following of Muhammad with the knowledge, the sciences. They got to see why is our religion, our religious leader of Islam cannot perform as the original followers of Muhammad, perform under his leadership. We can't do, why can't they do that anymore? It is because they have been deceived. They have been deceived by their minds to take up the strategy of the Christian and the Jews. Compete with them, rejecting them, condemning them, but being influenced without them even knowing it to use their strategy. So the darling did not stray intentionally. That wasn't Jesus Christ. That is why the Christians and the followers of Jesus Christ are the ones who strayed. They missed what they should have been all about. They are the darlings in the Quran. They are not the only darlings now, but the word is more descriptive of the Christian world, not the Christian leadership necessarily. It is more descriptive of the Christian world than it is of any other people or religion. The darlings mean that you did not do it intentionally. You strayed because of ignorance, of a lack of, or missing the right direction. After all, Muhammad the prophet was the darling. It said that we found you straying and we guided you, Muhammad himself. So we are going well and I'm comfortable now. So this is from the Quran, and Allah says, do not rush with the Quran. I know you read it. If you are reading it in the month of Ramadan, you read it already. Do not rush with the Quran. So I don't like to rush with this discussion. I gave you. I'm not preaching to make you shout. I'm not talking to make you go out of your mind. I'm talking to have you think, and to think you need not to go so fast. So I'm not rushing you. I could, but you need time for it to soak in. What is the best rain according to the Quran? Is that rain that comes steadily, but slowly and in light quantity, that's the best rain in the Quran. The sanctuary already mentioned that the people of the book was told to make their homes the sanctuary, because the world was too difficult for the light. They wanted to live and establish. They would be seen practicing, somebody would be planning to destroy. Their life. So you practice at home in privacy. Then they are not aware of what you have as your life. So when you come out in the public, they just see you going about their streets and getting into the place, and they made you shopping at the business or whatever. They don't know at home you have an entirely different world. Don't you know it's almost like that right now for us? Everybody says we are going to have our ear in the park with all the talk about terrorism. You are taking a great risk. So stop being weak. Get your head together with each other. Put your heads together. Sell some bean pies like the Nation of Islam has, or something. Have a cake bake or whatever. Sell some like Reggie Ann cookies. Get out there on the streets and sell some Reggie Ann cookies, and be sure you have a month or so before Eid Day, so you will have enough money to rent a facility if you don't have one. Rent a facility and have the people protected by walls from this corrupt, crazy world that they can enjoy the Eid inside. That is what bums go at night, to the park and other places. They don't have a home until the police come by, catch them and tell them that they have to move on. Isn't that something? A man who does not have a home, the police will run him out of the park, won't even let the man sleep on the ground. I guess you have to do that to keep civilization moving. Adam is an individual and a community type. The concept is always community. So Adam is a single person, and Adam is also a type. He is a picture or type of the community life in his one picture, because the original life God made us to have is established in Adam, his soul, his spirit, his intelligence. If he is truly Adam, then all of that is working as his creator designed it to work. The way he relates to his wife, the way he relates to his responsibilities as a husband or head of a family or all that is in accord with God's plan for human life if he is truly Adam. But you know that Satan seduced Adam and caused Adam and his wife, in the language of the Quran, to come out of the original clothing or original dress that God put them in. It is not that kind of clothing that comes immediately to mind. God makes it clear to us what kind of clothing it is. It is the clothing of righteousness. Righteousness for the soul, righteousness for the spirit, righteousness for the mind, righteousness for your purpose, etc. A complete righteous life. So the Satan seduced our first parents. Come out of the original life of a righteousness that God put in us naturally, and Muhammad is proof of that. He lived amongst idol worshippers, amongst pagans, who were doing shameless things in the public. Some of you, I don't think you know of the history. You could be traveling on the road, and you could see a person urinating, and then he's doing worse than that, having sex right in the view of the public. That was the condition of those people back then. Not all of them, but many of them were like that. It was called the time of Jahiliyyah, the time of ignorance. That is what Muhammad was born in. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. We will continue this next Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m., inshallah. It only means if it please God. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. But before we go this evening, we're asking everyone small prayer for our beloved sister, Lieutenant Governor Sheila Oliver, passed away. May Allah forgive her her sins and grant her paradise. She was a great lady, and she was a gift to all the young girls that's coming up to show them that they can reach any heights that they want to reach. So let's make a prayer for our sister and ask God to forgive her and grant her paradise. Thank you. May God have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.